Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
So tell me, who's your favorite superhero? Yeah, one's already come in your mind. One's already think about it. And say, do you have a preference? Maybe you prefer Marvel over DC. Any Marvel fans in here? All right, like three of you. Okay, DC fans. All right, another three. That's pretty even. But I'll tell you this. When I was a kid, that would primarily be in the 90s, if we're keeping score. But when I was in the 90s, DC Comics was king. Like, that was the, like, who heard of Marvel? No one's ever heard of that. Yeah, everything was DC. Now, this, sure, there were a few Marvel things like X-Men and Spider-Man. Like, these things were there. But, man, it's not like what it is now where they make a new movie every 45 seconds. You know, there's another one coming out, you know, and then you got to watch this one and know what happened in this one. It's just, it's gotten too, the universe is too expanded for me. Now, in fact, I will say before all this new stuff, for a few decades, it was actually all about DC. Everything was about DC. In fact, the 80s, if we were to go back to the 80s, it was all about Superman. Oh, yes, with Christopher Reeves. Yeah, listen, I tell you what, this whole franchise, there was four of them. They're not all great. You know, let's just call it what they are. But I'm going to tell you, even for me, as a kid of the 90s, this guy to me is Superman. This is Superman. It's Christopher Reeves, right? And I know there's other ones, but this one turned, like, spin the entire world backwards by just flying. Yeah, you got a reference if you got to see if you know what it is. Now, then came the 90s, the next decade. Then came the 90s, which gave us the ultimate question. Keaton versus Kilmore, okay? I mean, this was a serious thing to figure out in the 90s. Like, okay, which Batman is the one? Now, I'm sorry for all of you Clooney fans out there, but let's just call that movie for what it was. A cash grab, okay? That's what this was, all right? There's no clue. George is probably good in a lot of stuff. He probably should have stuck on ER, but let's just, and by the way, if you're wondering, Keaton wins that battle as Batman. That's not scripture, that's just my opinion. I just want to make sure I'm very clear on that up front. But there's one thing that every superhero movie has in common. I think every one of them has to come across the same thing. And yes, usually in every superhero movie, there's a dilemma that only they can solve or only that they can figure out and piece together. There's usually a big bad guy that is going to destroy the whole world if they don't come and get their senses together, and then they gotta figure out how they're going to stop this guy. And they also usually do have some type of superhuman or power, or in one case a lot of money, but like power or something like that makes them interested, or at least has us wanting to engage with them because they can do something we can't do, right? Here's this problem, and then they can go and solve it in a way that we can't solve it. And so we really lean into that. But there is one thing that really, each of them, when you go back to the comics and you look through it all, there's one thing that all of them have to eventually battle. And that is their identity. You see, usually they have to be two different people in order to make this work, right? You know, you have an alter ego that's over here that kind of represents you like this, but then this guy over here kind of is the one that saves the day. You know, at some point, every comic book story, each of them have to answer the question, and usually you will see this in the main character. They usually answer the question, which one is my true identity? Which one is my true identity? Is it the wealthy billionaire or is it the Dark Knight? Right? Which one is my identity? You know? Now, the reason why that this storyline, at least I think, resonates with us, this identity crisis, if you will, kind of resonates with us is that because at some point, each of us in this room, watching online or however at some point, all of us try to determine who is staring back in the mirror in our lives. And I'm here to tell you today that your identity isn't found in a mirror, but in a place that can't be seen by the human eye. Let's pray. Father, we just pray over this time as we kind of just look into your word and your wisdom, Father, and discernment. And that's what I pray. Father, I pray that the words that I say up here, that they're the words you want me to say. Father, that I want you to just kind of remove me and speak, Lord, your truth. Father, I do pray as we go through and already in the service, we've sang to you and we lifted our voices and we do all these things as acts of worship. But now, Lord, we open our minds and our hearts to receive from you to us. And Lord, I pray over this time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I got this new thing I'm trying. I got to fix this thing. There it is. Found it. All right, perfect. Keeps falling on me. There we go. All right. Now I can see. See, this morning we're starting this new series. So we concluded a series last week. You know, and we were kind of concluding our time with Gideon. But for the next couple of weeks, we're gonna kind of change the pace just a little bit. We're gonna look into more of a kind of a topic discussion. Now, the series that we're diving into today is "What Was I Made For?" I mean, maybe someone in this room right now could stand up and just tell me exactly what you were made for. And I don't mean like what are you made for, you know, that kind of thing. But like, what are you made for, right? Maybe some of us have an idea on what that is, and maybe some don't. Maybe we're trying to navigate or trying to figure out, what am I made for? I mean, I think at some point, just like a superhero, just like Clark Kent or Batman or whoever, you know, all these things, at some point, I think each of us are going, why am I here? Why am I here? Am I doing what I should be doing? I think that's something we ask ourselves. What's my purpose? Why was I made? Why was I made? Now, oftentimes, we actually ask these questions later in life, maybe as a reflection point. Maybe once we retire, perhaps. And then we take a moment and we reflect on the whole life that we've had, and we start to ask ourselves these questions. Did I do what I was meant to do? Or what is my legacy? That's a real popular one. What's my legacy, right? What am I leaving behind? And I don't just mean your financial legacy. I mean, what is your legacy that you're leaving behind? Your family, your relationships, your people, all that sort of thing. What is my legacy? And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be covering four different topics that may help us understand, or at least I hope will get us to a closer understanding to help us answer why we are the way we are. And so here's what we're going to cover. So today we're going to cover, you guessed it, identity. All right? And then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at purpose. Right? What's my purpose? What's the purpose? We're going to look at relationships. Those matter, you know. And then the last one we're going to look at is proclaim. Things we say. Proclaim, okay? So this is what we're going to be looking through over the next 4 weeks. Now, before I just drive in and get into this, let me start by saying something that maybe someone in this room or online, or maybe you'll hear it later on at a different time, but someone in this room might need to hear what I'm about to say. Maybe right now in your life. It is not by accident, but by design, by strategy, by intentionality, that you are here on earth right now, living at this moment in history, in your specific generation, whichever one that is. And we got a lot in here. I mean, I'm looking out over here, and y'all don't look the same. So Some of us are a little older, some of us are a little younger, right? Some of us have different, a spectrum of different things. You know, at least I don't know about you, but I have found that we as culture or society, we tend to find a lot of our identity within our specific generation, right? So we have this kind of generational thing, and then we find our identity kind of within that little box. And in fact, I did a little research. I was just curious on this idea of generations, and so I did a little research on this, and this is what I found on generations. Did you know? Because I didn't actually before. Maybe I just didn't do the math, or maybe I'm really bad at math. I haven't decided yet. But did you know that right now there are currently 7 different living generations on Earth? So right now, there are 7 generations that are living on Earth. Now, after I did a little research, here's what I found. The oldest living generation right now is called the Greatest Generation. And they were born 1901 through 1927. Is there anyone in the Greatest Generation in here? Yes, I see a few knocking heads like this. We have them in our church, by the way. The Greatest Generation is among us. And so this year, kind of like generalizing according to this research, right, according to what this little kind of author kind of pieced together, it says that they are the oldest living generation. This is the generation that lived through the Great Depression, and they're the ones that actually went and fought in World War II. And so we still have World War II veterans alive with us right now. And so they went and fought in the war. And because of hard times, they lived through all the very difficult and challenging moments in their lives. They are known for their traits like hard work and grit, right? They just grit. They just get in there and get it done, right? We don't got time for this. We got to get it done. And this is kind of like a result of kind of the way that they were brought up and the way society was. But don't let that hard work fool you completely. Because when these guys needed to let off some steam, they gave us 2 things. They gave us jazz and they gave us swing music, all right? And so they knew how to party too. Maybe not the same way you do, but it was a good way to get some stress off. Now, the next generation after that is called the Silent Generation. And they were born 1928 through 1945, the Silent Generation. Any Silent Generation folks in here? Yeah, they're pretty silent, so hold on. All right, you know, they just quietly raise their hands, you know. So we got some Silent Generations in here, yes. And so these guys here, they got their name, Silent Generation, because they are known for their lack of civil disorder. So they don't, basically, generally speaking, this generation follows the rules, all right? They're all shaking their head like this. And so they follow the rules. They don't want to throw a pebble in the pond and have ripples on it. Like, no. I just want to get through life, get done. There's no disobedience, there's no protest, nothing like that. And these guys are the silent. And so they just keep their head down, they go get the job done. And actually, during this particular time, in this span, kids were expected to earn their way through life. There were no freebies, right? It was like, hey, listen, you're going to go to school. When you graduate, even though you got a fancy degree, you're going to start at the lowest job and work your way up. You're not the CEO, right? So that's kind of this generation's mindset. It's like, that's how we work. Put your head down, no freebies. And then next comes the baby boomers. All right, they're a little louder. All right, the baby boomers, there's a few in there. All right, they were born from 1946 through 1964, yeah? And so, yeah, there we go. I see smiles, and they're waking up now. You see, this is the generation that Gen Zers, more on you in a minute, Gen Zers see as their out-of-touch grandparents, right? These guys don't know anything. They're so out of touch. I mean, I have to show them how to turn on their phone, all right? So they're out-of-touch grandparents. But let me assure you, that this particular generation had a very wild side, all right? Now, don't worry, boomers, I'm not going to give away any secrets. I'm not gonna, you know, I'll make sure everyone still knows, at least act like you got your stuff together, don't worry. But they got their name from the population boom that occurred after World War II. So when the war was ended, and when war happens the way it did, we all thought the world was coming to an end. So when it ended, there was a massive population boom since the baby boomers. And then, I do have to say, according to all the research, it says here that baby boomers were the generation that defied their parents, protested the Vietnam War, Woodstock, oh yeah, baby, and then peace and love, right? This is the boomer generation. Sounds kind of familiar a little bit. And then next is the Gen Xers, born between 1965 and 1980. Any Gen Xers in here? All right, there you go. There's a couple in there. All right, so this is what is most commonly known as the MTV generation. All right? This is the MTV generation. They grew up in the 80s when the video killed the radio star. All right? This is it. This is when, you know, it was cool to drive a Trans Am with the top down and your hair flowing in the back of the window, right? This is what you did, see? He's like, well, you had hair then. You had hair then, yeah. Yeah. That also happens over time, too, but, you know, that's a different thing. That's later on. And so, so this is the Gen Xers. They're the MTV generation, grew up in the 80s. And according to this research, unlike their boomer parents, as they say, who let them play outside until dark, right? They're, you know, those parents are just like, come back when the sun goes down. And if you're not back, then we'll figure it out, right? In fact, I kind of actually remember a little bit of that, but just go out and play until the sun comes down. It says here, according to this, that the Gen Xer generation created a new style of parenting called helicopter parenting, all right? And so what this means is that they created a generation that became very involved in their children's social and educational experience. It was like, I need to know everything that's going on, right? And so their parents had a little bit more freedom. No, I want to know everything that's going on. And so then after the Gen Xers came perhaps one of the greatest generations to have ever walked on the earth. I have no stake in this. I'm just telling you. This is what the research said. No, it didn't say that. But the next comes the millennials, born 1981 to 1996. Millennials? All right, there we go. All right. Listen, I'm a millennial too, right? I'm a millennial too. And so they lived through 9/11. I remember when Amazon sold only books. Yeah, that was it. Like, that was like, if you went to Amazon, you were buying a book. That was it. In fact, I remember going to college, and when I went there, they said, go buy your textbook. I went to Amazon and bought a textbook from there, but not anymore. And then, of course, we remember a childhood both with and without the internet. When we started our childhood, the internet was not a thing, and then when we got crossed over, it became a thing. And in fact, I remember the day that we got a computer, this thing called a computer in our house, and then we had this cable thing, and it went from the wall, and then you plugged it in the back of the computer, and they said it was called a modem thingy, and then you plug it in, and it said it was 56K speed. Right? Let me translate that for my younger people. That's less than 1 meg of speed. But it took 15 minutes to download an image, and we were living the life. Okay? We were living the life. And so here, according to this, it says that when it comes to parenting, it says millennials are more likely to encourage their children to live as their authentic selves. So this particular generation is a little bit more about you discover who you are, and I'll support you. And that's kind of how the millennial parenting has been. Now, next in line are the Gen Zers. Let me text them real quick. I know that I'm talking about them. Gen Zers are born 1997 through 2010, and they are the first generation to be born into a world where they know nothing besides constant connection to one another through technology. See, my generation, the computer came into the home. They were born, it was already there. It's already there. And the internet got faster as well. And so they're the only ones there.
According to this research here, it says that they are environmentally conscious, you know, as general speaking. They are inclusive and accepting of others, and they are extremely politically aware, despite many of them not being able to vote yet because they're not old enough. But they're very engaged. They care about what's going on. They care about what's going on. And then, of course, finally, is Generation Alpha, born 2011 to present. Just so you know, they right now, this generation, are currently in children's church. They're right over here. That's where they are, all right? But they're here. And in fact, the verdict is still out on these guys. I have two of them, and listen, I'm on the edge of my seat. You know, what's going to happen, right? But I will tell you this, one of the interesting things that I found is that they are going to be the first generation of kids who will never know a time or a life when social media did not exist. Internet was way before social media. Social media wasn't until 2007 or 8. Social media, and so they're the first generation that when they opened their eyes, they were connected on social media. That already existed, and they're the first ones that will ever know it. They were also going, they're currently right now, the only generation, living generation, shaped and born during a global pandemic. And there's actually not enough research yet to say what is that going to mean in the next 20 years. But that's, they're the only one that's ever born in a pandemic. And then it says here, which I've seen firsthand, and I think they're right, is that they will be the most tech savvy generation in history, beating out Gen Zers and millennials. And so these guys, they wake up, and like for me, you know, when I went to go to a screen, my mom said go to a screen, you know, I was spraying it down and cleaning it like this. They're just used to swiping everything. Like, this is what they do. And so in this room alone, just when I said that, you know, looking across and just spectrum that's here, we have a spectrum of generations who experience and see the world differently than you. Just right here in this room, just right now. The way we think, the way we see, the way we experience, the things that we love, all these things are different just in this room right here. And you see, we maybe without realizing it, or maybe we have realized it. Maybe we have. But what we've done is we've turned our generations into tribes. And we go into our tribe. Now it seems, at least to me, that the world is always pinning generations against each other, right? They're always like pinning this one against this one, or it's about how this generation sees things compared to how this one kind of sees things, and they always like to pin them up. And I'm going to tell you that this type of thinking has forced us to find our identity in people who think or look like us. And that's where we find our identity. We find it with those people, right? Now, this very same concept applies to politics as well, but generations are easier to talk about, all right? But it applies to politics as well. Now, when we live like this, when we choose to live in this style or in this way, there are only ever two options in this lifestyle. There's only two options. Us, them, right? Either you're with us or you're with, you guessed it, them. And this is how we kind of currently live right now, us and them. So this begs the question, at least it did for me, it begs the question, were we made to live like this? Is this how we're supposed to live? We're supposed to live in this us and them, or I did, you look this in this way and this way. And listen, I'm going to tell you that I think that the answer is no. I don't think we were meant to live like this. You see, what has happened is that we have become disconnected from the source that actually gave us our identity in the first place, and have been trying ever since the garden, we've been trying to find anything else to fill the void since it happened. That we're just trying to find what is my identity? That looks good? I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to bring it in. And we forget that we've been disconnected from the very source that gave us our identity. Now, I know that identity is a very hot topic today and all that stuff, but if we're going to figure out what were we made for, then we got to get to the bottom of this identity thing, I think. I think we can't ignore it or navigate. I think we got to get to the bottom of it. And so there, I'm going to say here, is that there's only one place, one source that our true identity comes from. And it's not from a classroom. It's not from a book that we read. It's not from a political party or a policy vote. It's not from the year that you were born. And it's not from a feeling you may have. Your identity comes from a source that was designed to draw us close to one another, not to separate, not to divide. You see, your identity is found in Genesis 1:26. Now, when we read Genesis 1, when we go through that story, we all know it well. We've been through that portion of Scripture. But when we read Genesis 1, here's what we find very quickly, right? It doesn't take very long, just a few Scripture verses. And what we find is that God is a master builder. I mean, goodness gracious, this guy can piece anything together. He's a master builder. And in fact, at least when you look at the first chapter of Genesis, is that we are quickly introduced to this thought, to this person, if you will, this idea that God can create something out of nothing. Okay? Think about that. Everything in physics says that's not possible. You can't do that. You got to have something to make something. But according to Genesis 1, it says that God took nothing and he created something. And so now we know that God has the power and the ability and the authority to create something. And then we go through here, we see that his creative mind, I mean, the whole first like chapter is just like us being introduced to his creative mind, to like how he saw things, and maybe this white canvas that he just kind of pieced together, and we just go verse by verse, and we see this creative way. And in fact, we're introduced to things that are like, I mean, just so creative. Things like the platypus, right? What is that thing? But God was like, I like it. And so he put it down. The hippopotamus, right? I mean, gosh, like that. And then, of course, the sloth. Now, I'm going to be straight up. There are times I feel like the sloth is my spirit animal, right? There are days where I go home and I'm just like, I'm coming, but it's just that is. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, my daughter has adopted the sloth as her favorite animal. So she got sloth. But the sloth, that's such an interesting creature to me, as the sloth. You see, each animal looks different. They have different traits. Some have fur, some have scales, some have gills, right? Some have wings and beaks. Some fly, maybe. Some swim. Some walk. I mean, they're so creative. In fact, I could spend the rest of my morning just talking about the creative differences in these animals and these creations that God pushed on the earth. I mean, how different they look. But then, just when God was about done creating, he saved his best work for last. You see, this creation was going to be different than all of the rest of them. It wasn't going to be the same. You see, this special creation was going to have something that the other animals did not have. No. They don't have this. He was saving it for just this moment. You see, he was going to give this creation a piece of him. That's you. He wanted this creation, this one, to be like him. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all of the earth that I've just created." He can have it all. "And over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And just like that, friends, you were given an identity directly connected to the triune God. You see, this is why you know right from wrong. Is it why you naturally, why when someone is hurt, while they're going through pain, you naturally want to go and bring comfort. You want to come and help. You want to it comes natural to us. And it's why your soul desires love. Because God is love. This is also the same reason. When God sent his son down to this earth, that he did not have to send him as a different creation. He didn't have to change what he was. No, he didn't come down and he looked different than us. No, he sent him in the form that was already made in his image. It was already there. And he came as that. That's how he came. So whether you know it or not, your identity, your likeness, comes directly from God. You were made in the image of God. Now, as Robert comes up here to the piano, there's something I want to just ask. Is that this image, this identity that God has given us, oh, how we have abused it. My friends, you and I have a direct connection to God who just spoke and the world was created, who created something out of nothing. And let me assure you that right now in your life, if you are going through an identity crisis, I don't know what I am. I don't know who I am. I don't understand how I feel. All these things that are going on in our lives. Let me say that there is an answer. There is a place that will give you your answer. We have to stop trying to find our identity in the world and only come to the source of who gave it to us to begin with. So where is your identity this morning? What is it? What struggle do you see when looking in the mirror? When you get to that place and you look in the mirror, okay, maybe I need to shed a few pounds here and there, maybe, okay. But beyond that, what do you see? Is it just lost, confused, hurting? Or is it the image of the triune God calling, come home? Come home. I have you. You're in my arms. Don't trust this. That'll fade. It's not going to last. Not that. But I've been here since the beginning. I'm the same as yesterday. I'll be the same today and tomorrow. You can count on me. You can count on me. Come home. Come home. Our identity is not based on our generation. It's not based on anything else. Our identity are not found in these things, but only in the likeness of God, which is, my friends, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, self-control. Are you right now waking up every day always angry? You're just always angry. Turn on the TV, you're angry. That guy did that, I'm angry at that guy. Just always angry all the time. If this is who you are, if this is where you find yourself every single day, this anger, let me tell you, I know a place where that can go away. A place where peace is offered in exchange than anger. It could just be you wake up and you don't know what you are. What am I? I feel this guilt and this shame. I feel all this emotion, these feelings. Well, I don't understand. What am I? There's a place that you can find the answer to that. And so we're going to sing this chorus. Because you see, there's God in me, and there's God in you, making us all that we can be, created in His image, and let us live in His will. God in me, God in you.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your